Triple M Footy lives on Listener, thanks to McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Getting our nose right in there and having a good sniff around the Monday Scrum.
Yes, welcome to the Scrum. Adam Peacock alongside Brent Reed from the Daily and Sunday Telegraphs. How are you, Reedy?
Good, mate. Good, good.
That's the way. And James Graham as well. Jimmy, how's things?
From the...
Buy round.
House.
He's everywhere. Bulldogs.
He lives everywhere. Here. Yeah.
You were at a Bulldogs polo on... When was it? The other day?
Yesterday at the game.
Yesterday. Sunday. Yeah. Yeah,
sorry. Just a fan, mate. I'm just a big fan.
Yeah. Where's Woodsy? Is he not here again?
No. No, he's recovering from his huge effort.
Now he's back in first grade. He just can't be bothered anymore, can he?
I was actually at Belmore yesterday. Belmore Sports Ground.
The game was at the core, game. Mate.
No. You were there. Oh, man. Where's all the players? Where's the... Oh, geez, we must be early.
I was watching the other football, the round ball. My son was playing, actually, on Belmore.
How'd
on the
go?
Hallowed turf. How'd he scored,
go?
Actually.
Again, he's a goal-scoring machine, your
at
boy.
At the railway end, he scored. Went off to celebrate with the non-existent crowd. And,
Screamer or tapping?
Nice one. Nice one. Crossover, six-yard box, hip height, got his leg up and just smacked it straight past the keeper.
Did he put any over the train lines as well?
No, thankfully. But I'd imagine there's a fair old sports store over the back there.
Yes, there is.
That's the highest net I've ever seen. Anyway, but where Canterbury were actually playing yesterday at Core Stadium is the talking point on Monday, because it's all about the injury to one of the superstars of rugby league in Kalyn Ponga. Reedy, as we sit here right now, what's the absolute latest with Kalyn?
He's going to see specialists this afternoon. Look, there's genuine fears at the Knights that potentially his season may be over. Mm-hmm. That's the worst case scenario, that he's done an injury that ends his year. The early prognosis, I believe, is up to 2 months. But again, it'll depend on what the specialists say, the Savo, and they are worried that his season is done. So it's a pretty significant day for the Knights. Hopefully they get some good news, and Kalyn gets good news this afternoon.
So it's a minimum, though, 2 months.
It looks like 2 months, yeah. But so again, he's just got to see the specialist, the Savo, just to get some clarity around how long it will be.
Well, I reckon if he's gone for 2 months, the season's done.
Full stop.
They're not playing finals without him. They're 2-5.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think he's took over Tommy Dubojevic now as the most important individual for any team's chance of victory.
Is there not the theory, though, and it's an outlier because it doesn't happen all the time, that sometimes when you lose your absolute superstar that you can become greater than the sum of your parts that are
you
remaining?
Can, yeah, yeah, but there's no evidence to suggest Newcastle Knights are in any danger of doing that.
Mm. You hated what you saw yesterday from them?
Mate, they were really, like, the Bulldogs played well, but they were really poor. And there's plenty more evidence of just how important Ponga is. Go back to the Roosters game, like that 10-minute period when he was injured.
The hip pointer.
Yesterday's game, I was really proud of the Bulldogs' efforts, and they worked really hard. And they're seeing a lot of hard work and dedication, trust in one another, sticking at it, come to fruition. But they lost Chris Patolo in the opening couple of minutes. Their bench, the Bulldogs bench, Sam Hughes came on for him.
Mm-hmm.
Three players on the bench, Bailey Haywood, Curtis Moran and Blake Taff for the best part of 78 minutes. So if their forwards can't muscle up, like, that's...
It's a head scratcher from Newcastle's point of view. And Adam O'Brien was not desolate after the game, but he was pretty nonplussed with what went on.
Well, they don't have any logical replacement for him either. They've got a young kid who they've got huge raps on named Fletcher Sharp, but he's got an injury. There's a kid, I think, named David Armstrong, who's been playing reserve grade. And the other option is Dane Gagai, who could slip back to fullback, but that weakens your centre. So it wouldn't matter who they put there, though. I mean, Kalyn's so important to them. I mean, he wins games, really. I know, not single-handedly, but as close as you can get to single-handedly. And, last year they started really poorly and then strung together a heap of wins, and that was on the back of Kalyn. So if he's not there, their hopes of doing that this year are basically nil.
Yeah, and with their attack, Ponga is so important. I think they're missing Dom Young as well, that finishing ability and just half chances, quarter chances that he could turn into
full
tries.
Chances, yeah.
I reckon the other issue, Jimmy, is it's been a bit of a revolving door in the halves as well. There's no stability there. They've had Gamble 1 week, Cogger the next. You know, Jackson Hastings has been dropped and come back in. And
I don't understand this.
Phoenix Crossland's been used in the halves
Crossland's been used now
as a nine. And yeah, I would say, without knowing the absolute fact, that they have chopped and changed their six and seven more than any team this year. Well, and it looks like they play like that way.
Yeah, well, look how many teams have to chop and change through injury or suspension. Yeah. And the coach will be like, we just need continuity in the halves. We need our halves to get game time together. But
Penrith, Schneider.
They're imposing themselves on this. They're doing this to themselves. And I think after a preseason, you've got to know who your six and seven are. Mm. I don't think... has there ever been a team be successful? I'm probably going to shoot myself in the foot here, and there will be examples, but it's like a six and seven, you don't know who it is.
Yeah.
Unless you've got like a one standout, like most would be injuries or like a gun comes through and then it's like a real selection headache. But for the players that the Knights have got in this particular situation, I think they should know who their six and seven are. They should know who their best six and seven are. And even if the performance or the result over a 2 or 3 week period doesn't go, I think you've got to stick at it. Look at the Bulldogs, for instance. Woodsy brought this point up yesterday, that Drew Hutchison, you know, people going, well, bring Sexton in. But no, they've said, he's our seven. We've identified this. We're going with this choice. And that's not to say that you can't change your mind, but and Burton is the six as well. There was pressure on them to change things, but they stuck at it. They said, this is our best six and seven. We see all the evidence. But the Knights, they're doing this to themselves. They really are.
What do you see from Canterbury and what they can become, Mr. Canterbury Polo, over there? I mean, is it 12 months removed from last season? And you go back last season, they had a really good early win against Melbourne in Melbourne. You thought, oh, this is the renewal. And then obviously it tailed off horribly in the second half of the season. Is it different this year?
Look, I'm not getting too carried away. There's still plenty of areas of improvement, and it's a long season, and it's hard to play at that level for 27 rounds of football with a couple of byes thrown in as well, because Cam Seraldo demands a lot. So the players have got to keep turning up for each other, keep being dedicated. Even for me, The game against the Melbourne Storm, incredibly proud of their efforts, but they didn't get the victory. But the most pleasing thing about yesterday's performance was the fact that despite putting everything into that Melbourne game, not getting the victory, they didn't go away and feel sorry for themselves. We've seen so many teams over the however long put in really good performances, get really close, but unfortunately lose, and then back up the following week. They just expend everything and they're dejected. So
yeah.
I'm really happy with what I've seen, but not getting too carried away. The left-hand side attack is starting to look really dangerous. Viliame Kikau, I like the little bits of variation. Bronson Cherry playing really, really well too. I like Crichton on the right. I think when Jacob Preston comes back into the team, that edge will be even stronger, especially defensively. So look, The middle forwards, though, they've really pleased me, just how they're working
Max
together.
Max King has been ridiculous.
He has. He's
playing with a broken hand, too.
Yeah. Like, he's been very, very good. Josh Curran. And they're working for one another. Without that real alpha that people think that you need, they're working as a pack, as a team, as a unit. So credit to the work that they're putting in together. And these systems that Cam Seraldo brings in, the players are trusting it. They're buying into it. Defensively, they looked excellent. It took the Knights 12 tackles, a run on last play for Lucas to score that in the first half, and it was just a slight turn in from someone. Someone came out the system on last tackle. You understand why that happens, because there's different things to be considering. But yeah, it's positive sign, but not getting too carried away.
I'm jumping on the bandwagon.
Oh, look out!
I tipped in the Winter Spoon preseason.
Yep.
But I've had a look at the table, and I reckon they are top eight Smokies. If they can kick out fit, Crichton fit, because all those sides around sort of 7 to to I think the Broncos might be seventh. I don't include them. They might be sixth or seventh. I don't include them because they'll be top four. But everyone else is in this logjam of sides who are just really inconsistent at the moment. The Roosters, Canberra, the Cowboys, all those teams are just dropping games, winning games. And I think the Dogs, they got the bye this week, Tigers the week after. That'll be a huge game at a Core Stadium. It should be over 30,000 there for that game. I reckon that they could potentially string a few wins to go. I reckon they're Smokies to finish in the eight, the bottom of the eight.
And it feels like it is, as James mentioned, system-based. Yeah. So if they lose someone, say Crichton goes away for Origin, they'll just bring someone in. Might not be as good defensively in particular as Stephen Crichton, but they'll just do that job.
They look like a really well-coached side, which I think a lot of people thought came out, like, a bit like the Sharks, right? Fitzy. Yeah. They look like a really well-coached side.
Well-drilled. Yeah. No, everybody knows what Disciplined. They need to do. Yeah.
Canterbury look like a really well-coached side at the moment. Like the pennies dropped with that playing squad. Yeah. And you chuck a those middle forwards are doing a great job. But if you chuck an alpha male in there, like a Payne Haas, Fanua Blake, Fisher Harris type guy, I mean, they're real close.
Real handful. Real close.
I think Connor Tracy's done a really good job at four, but I feel for Blake Taff because his best 40 minutes of his career was that first half against the Roosters, which was sadly ended, and then it gives someone else an opportunity. Connor Tracy, who's been excellent these past couple of games. He was always great for the Sharks when he played at the back, and obviously up against Will Kennedy, it's a tough predicament to be in, but obviously the Dogs, the benefactors of that difficult decision of Fitzgibbon.
They've got to keep Kickow fit. I mean, that's ultimately, that's the key for them, for me. If you keep Kickow fit, he's such a weapon. Such a weapon. So,
and he puts fear into people.
He does.
So those charge, another charge down. So now every halfback that comes up against the Dogs, they have to stand 1 or 2 metres deeper. Yeah. And those are some of the little things that, they accumulate over time, they add up, and all of those things go into the victory. I think those little things, we're going to talk about some teams a little bit later that clearly were missing the attention to detail and willingness to do those little things.
Just before we move on to WTF moment of the round, James, I've got to ask you this question. Have you ever wanted to fight someone outside the dressing rooms? Like Hetherington did to Reid Marnie yesterday. That was weird. I can't work it. I've watched it about 8 times. I can't work out if it was play fighting or he wanted to...
Well, he's been charged. He's been charged this morning.
He has been.
Grade 2 contrary conduct.
Ooh.
1 match ban.
Okay.
It was strange because it wasn't that type of game. I know they had a bit of a push and shove.
Every game's that type of game when Reid Marnie's involved because he's spiky.
Yeah.
He's annoying. He'd be a pest to play against, Jimmy.
Yeah, and I like that. I think there was an incident with Hastings in like the first couple of sets.
Was,
he gave away a penalty. But then the game's like pretty much done. I love how Reid stands up for himself. Like, the psycho that is Hetherington. Like, I mean,
he's got a shortest fuse.
It's a mismatch, isn't it? Yeah. So Reid Marnie standing up for himself, going after Hetherington. I was like, good on you, lad. You go. Hetherington, he's a bit of a reformed character. He's not that same firecracker that he used to be. But, all it takes is one little thing to revert to type. And I think that's that's him bottling things up. Doing the quote-unquote right thing, staying calm, and then it's just all just come out in one big thing. Like, you know what? You see Red, and he's in the tunnel saying, let's go, Reid. Like,
Have you ever?
I don't.
No?
No, I don't think so.
He's a lover, not a fighter, Jimmy.
No, I don't think any kickoffs down the tunnel or anything like that. No. One of my favourite ones is Keenan Vieira.
And, before the game,
that is like, I will see out there. We'll see out there every week. You picking on the little guy, Gary Neville. We'll see out there. Like, how good is that? Like, that's
poor old Gary Neville thinking to himself. I could have handled it. Keno, it's all right. I mean, there was that famous one in a test match all those years ago, Reedy, wasn't there, up at Lang Park with was it Greg Dowling,
Kevin Tamati?
Kevin Tamati, who just belted seven shades out of each other before they got to the tunnel.
Headbutts and all sorts of things going on.
Remarkable. Yeah. And in the Battle of Brookvale, that was on the way as well. Yeah, but it's hard to remember many of those.
Look, really, like the Reid Marnie thing, like when the event happened and they pulled each other apart and they were going back at it again. So, look, they've done the wrong thing and they need to take responsibility. But with the way Accor Stadium is, you've just got to separate them so they don't come together in the tunnel.
Well, they did separate them, Jim.
Yeah, no, but I mean, like,
Jack Hetherington went into the dressing room, but he was watching Reid Marnie come off the field.
When he saw him coming off,
he went out the dressing room to greet him.
Oh, really?
In the tunnel, yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
So where was
separate.
It?
Juvenile behaviour.
You're supposed to go into the dressing room.
Yeah.
So as he's obviously got sin bin first, he's gone in the dressing room. He's watching what's happening. He's watched Reid Marnie get sin bin and thought, I'm gonna go and see this bloke in the tunnel. Because I think Reid gave him a wave off, right? And said, I'll see you after the game, you know. And Jack's gone, no, you'll see me now.
All right, then. Well, if something like that happens, you exercise common sense. Oh, well, they're supposed to go into the dressing room. Just put Reid Marnie on the bench.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, like.
But he has to leave the playing surface.
But if that happens, you just go, well.
Are we calling that just the Hetherington clause, are we?
Yeah.
But there's even drama at the weekend when Cameron Munster got Sydney. And I think there's drama because he came out of the dressing room and went in the sideline and warmed up on a bike, and he did it too soon. Because I don't think you're allowed out of the dressing room until maybe 2 minutes before your sin bin time's up. You're allowed to come out and...
It's like a game show. Yeah. Oh, you got locked in the room. You're not allowed out. Let me out. It's like, do you ever have the Crystal Maze over here? That game show?
No.
Oh, well, don't worry about it.
Okay,
but yeah.
Cool.
Let me out. Come on. Like, who cares, really?
Here we go. Now, what the WTF moment. Nominations, gentlemen. Reedy, you got one?
Look, I'm going to go, it's an Olympic year. I'm going to go with Torry Lewis. Did you see Torry Lewis, the fastest woman in Australia, 19-year-old girl? She ran in I think it was a Diamond League meet
on
the weekend. She beat Sha'Carri Richardson, who's the fastest woman on the planet. And she was in lane nine, and she was genuinely stunned afterwards, couldn't believe she'd done it.
Have you heard the call of it as well? It's one of the worst calls I've ever heard of anything ever. Like, The caller was like just watching Richardson the whole time.
Yeah.
Wasn't watching what was happening in the race and just started talking about Richardson. She got beat. Torry Lewis standing around going, and the commentator, and by the way, I think Lewis won. It's weird.
She's a talent, Torry Lewis. She's a ripper.
Outside chance. Hopefully she makes a final over there on either the 100 or the 200.
Well, she hasn't qualified for the team yet.
What?
She hasn't run a qualifying time.
And that wasn't a qualifying time?
And that wasn't a qualifying time.
Ridiculous.
But she'll get there in the end. If she doesn't run a qualifying time, she'll get there on ranking points. So she'll be all right. She'll be there.
Mm.
She's very good. I tell you what, can I have a consolation prize?
Sure, you can have two.
Did you see that? I was flicking through Twitter last night, and I love boxing.
Mm.
And that Ryan Garcia for Devin Haney,
yep.
And the whole fight was on Twitter. So I watched a replay of it.
Really?
That was a ridiculous fight. Like, that Devin Haney, he can go, and that Ryan Garcia is an absolute lunatic.
Yeah.
Dropped him three times and won a points
decision.
Who's the
bloke, Devin Haney? Who's the Australian, the Devin Haney?
Did he beat Kembosis?
Yeah.
Anyway. Great fight, though. If you get the chance, on Twitter, some bloke posted the whole fight on Twitter.
Okay. Thanks, Elon. Good stuff.
He could be in trouble for doing it because it was on. I think it was a pay-per-view on DAZN or something, but yeah.
Jimmy?
My WTF moment this week. Now, I know player agents in rugby league get a little bit of a bad rap.
Yeah.
But check this out. FIFA have concluded that the Premier League in England, the clubs spent a combined £409.5 million, which is over 700 Aussie dollars, in the 12 months to February 2024. So it's more than
agents' fees.
Premier League clubs spent to
agents
and intermediaries. Wow. So like basically the
agents
and the entourage of players.
Yeah,
12 months.
We missed our calling.
Mad.
I was going to be an agent, you know. Did I tell you that story? Yeah. I did a law degree because I wanted to be a player agent. I watched Jerry Maguire and I thought, that's a good job.
Yeah. But what happened?
I was already too deep in my journalism career. When I finished the law degree, it was too late.
You can twist mid-career.
Yeah, it's too late, man.
No, it's not.
Anyway, I was going to be Jerry Maguire.
Still can be.
Yeah, could maybe.
Yeah.
If I get a redundancy, I'll become a player agent now, so.
Your little mate, Michael Chamis, wants to become a GM. I'm sure his calling in life is to manage a salary cap at a rugby league club. And then hopefully he doesn't. We can bag the living crap out of his mismanagement of it.
He'd leak for sure. Get him in there then. Give him a job.
Yeah.
He'd leak like a strainer.
We love a bloke who leaks.
But yeah, like that is...
it's like, amazing.
You know what? Sometimes over here, the players are maybe paid too much and agents do this, but that is just another level. That's, like, can you imagine having to deal with that? Like, it's insane.
Because clubs have got agents that go out and try and find players, but they talk to agents of players, and then other agents try to rifle in with players who have already got agents. It's just shark tank.
The player doesn't pay.
No.
The clubs pay the agent fees.
It's amazing.
Like, it's
bonkers. Bonkers.
Great if you're a player.
I've got a couple of quick ones, WTFs. Sorry to hark down the world game again, but Nottingham Forest official club account didn't get penalty calls in a game that they lost on the weekend. And they warned, they said before the game that the VAR assigned to their game, the bunker, if you like, is a Luton fan. Now, Luton are 1 point below them on the Premier League in the relegation zone, Nottingham Forest just out. They have tweeted after the game where they didn't feel that they got one of three penalty calls that we warned the Premier League match officials body that this VAR was a Luton fan, and so it is, and we are assessing our options. That was an official tweet from the club account.
That was by Notts Forest, did you say?
Yes. Nottingham Forest.
He loves a legal blue, that bloke, the owner.
The owner. Notts Forest. But imagine if
he's a bit mad.
If Canberra Raiders did Ricky's job for him. In a post-match and just put out a tweet and said, the bunker is biased. It is favouring one team. It is against us. Imagine what, that wouldn't be a 10 grander.
Yeah, there was a fan in, this person in the bunker.
It's like they've been hacked. And another one, speaking of Canberra, I've got to nominate young Chevy Stewart for a WTF moment. It happens, he couldn't get on at the end of a couple of bombs. But his decision to run back in the line at warp speed at a guy twice his size, it's like, what are you doing, mate?
He's proven
his first grade toughness. That's what he's doing, I guess. But especially
after missing a few.
I couldn't believe he did
high balls. I love that. I think it shows great character.
Yeah. Wow. Do you agree with Ricky's way of appreciating what that first half was on Saturday night, in the sense that he could have just, it was diametrically opposed to what Brad Arthur said after it. And he knows his playing group. He knows the age profile of his roster. But we need nights like this to improve. And it will improve. Chevy Stewart's going to be a good first grader.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. It could have been a totally different game.
Hudson Young.
Yeah. And Canberra were really good to begin that. But then, Reece Walsh. That was insane.
He's pretty good, isn't he?
How good is he?
That was actually insane, that try.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was special.
So he's now locked in for your mob as the one, now that Pong is out.
I would have thought so. I think he was locked in anyway.
He was locked in?
Yeah.
Where was Kalen going to play?
That was the million-dollar question, wasn't it?
For Newcastle.
Yes.
He wasn't going to play Origin.
He'd have been around the squad. I would imagine he would have been 18th man for most games.
Isn't that weird how club players and they're standing at their club, and it's a little bit like Nicho Hynes at Cronulla. You take Nicho Hynes out of Cronulla and it's like they've got a big problem in an attacking sense, like Newcastle have.
Look at Parra with Mitch Moses at the moment.
But it doesn't automatically translate to being the player at rep level, like the club rep level. Like I'm convinced that Nicho Hynes is not in the equation for Michael Maguire.
Oh, he's in the mix.
He's in the mix.
Well, yeah, definitely.
But Luai's going to play.
Well, I don't know if he will. I think that's one of the more wide-open spots in the New South Wales team.
But Ponga not being a start, walk-up start for Queensland, it's interesting the gap and how players are perceived from club to Origin when you think really by form it should just translate automatically.
But don't you think the good teams aren't overly reliant on one player? You look at Brisbane, for example, Reece Walsh.
Hmm.
He missed some footy and they still went all right.
Adam Reynolds out at the
Nathan
moment.
Cleary out of Penrith, they still win footy games.
Mm. Mm.
So
it's a bit like what Serraldo's doing with the Bulldogs, trying to set in a system, whereas one goes out,
one
goes in. The problem is Newcastle is so reliant on him that when he is out, they just struggle.
And is it a Mitch Moses problem at Parramatta? Or is it something else? Because Brad Arthur was alluding to it being something else.
It is. Mitch Moses doesn't make you not work at marker.
Yeah.
He's obviously, they're a better team with him in, but there was like Jeremy Marshall King was just ghosting through them.
Yeah.
There's times he picked the ball up and ran, and even if he's playing touch footy, the nine shouldn't be able to run. Well, he ran through them worse than what a touch football team was. It was insane.
Let's listen to what Brad Arthur had to say on Friday night.
Probably what's wrong with our season is we're a part-time footy team at the moment. We pick and choose when we want to play, when we want to make a tough choice or a soft choice. We gave up, simple as that. There's only a handful of players in this club at the moment that pick to choose to come every week to play with the right mentality and toughness and want to be an 80-minute football and want to be an NRL player every week. Players got to fix it. I can only talk about it so many times, Shay. Players have to fix it, don't they? They're the ones who've got to come and play and enjoy playing the 80 minutes, the good parts of it and the bad parts of it and the hard parts of it. But we enjoy everything else around it, but we're not enjoying the 80 minutes.
Wow. That is a whack and a half. And obviously you talked about it extensively across Triple M on the weekend. Ready, what do you reckon the reaction is going to be when the team list drops on Tuesday?
Well, you would hope after having that to say about the team, you give them a chance to redeem themselves. I can't imagine they make many changes because if you look at their reserve grade team, they've won one game. I think their level below that's won. I don't think they've won a game all year. So they don't have a lot of depth. That's not another one of Brad's problems. He doesn't have a lot of options because the lower grades aren't going any good. So I can't imagine he's going to make wholesale changes. I think he's got to stick with most of those blokes. He might make a couple of subtle ones. Dejan Arce will be out anyway because he's had a head knock. So he's got to make at least one change, but I don't think he'll make a lot of them. And it'd be interesting to see how they react because this is up to you to fix. Agree with, right? I mean, it's the coach's job to get the players to play well. You know, and this is why there's this suggestion that maybe they need to change. Maybe the club's needs a new voice because when you see the way they've played two of the past 3 weeks, you can mount an easy argument that they're not. His voice isn't having the same impact as maybe it's had over the past 10 years that he's been there.
It's a huge all-in play from Brad Arthur after the game to put it on the player so bluntly like that.
Chips in.
And like he's right. Like some of they just weren't willing to do the little things well. And obviously you go up to Darwin, the heat, extreme. But like we said, the evidence, if this is a one-off, you kind of go, look, the weather, the boys just, got caught short, whatever it was, but it was the same couple of weeks ago against Canberra. So, power in that game, they got a couple of easy tries, and I just wonder if they switched off. Like the Lane try, one-on-one, smaller guy, and then Pennacini was a big 360, and I think they just switched off from that, and then they go into half-time, and I think they just thought it was going to be a cakewalk. Gutherson takes the two. Yeah, and they just relax, and you can't afford to do it. And they dug their own hole, and they just weren't willing to work from marker. Like the little things that make a difference, you work from marker, you just do the fundamentals. And we speak of Mitchell Moses. If he's there or if he's not, you've got to make that choice to just do your job, really. Yeah. It's not even going above and beyond. It's not doing the one percenters. It's just
Doing what's expected.
I said, like, the team that's willing to keep tying in, keep moving the longest, would win that game.
Yeah.
But Parra just didn't even do the fundamentals.
Tell you one thing, it's almost a WTF nomination in itself, is why do they keep on playing Queensland teams up there?
Oh, in Darwin, yeah.
Look, why would you pick an opponent who is used to humid conditions?
Imagine they think that's their best chance of getting a decent crowd, that they bring a Queensland team.
Like, maybe. Give yourself the best chance of winning the game.
There were a lot of Dolphins fans at that game.
Yeah.
You know what used to irk me when the Bulldogs, we'd take one of our home games and we'd play the Warriors in New Zealand, but just not in Auckland. I was like, oh, cheers.
Yeah. A bit like...
great for corporates and for numbers. But for us, the players, it made our job significantly harder.
What do you reckon the Manly players feel about for the third or fourth year in a row going up the Magic Round to play a home game against Brisbane?
Yeah.
At Suncorp?
Yes.
Like, seriously?
Yeah. Money, man. It's all about
the
money.
All right when Brisbane were crap, but
yeah.
Not anymore. Speaking of, I call it crap. You might be able to as well, but it wasn't good from the Cowboys. What are they? I can't work it out. They look to have all the attacking talent that you need, But then 1 week they're on, oh, for 20 minutes they're on, and then 20 minutes they're on. I can't work out what they are. Can you explain it?
Pretenders? They are. The way they're playing at the moment, they're pretenders. I think they had a soft start to the year. Was it when you look back at it, the draw, wasn't that overly onerous? And they won the games they had to win against teams that were struggling, but they've come up against a quality team on Sunday and they just got battered. And, based on that performance, they're pretenders.
Yeah.
I think the Hazleton try says it all.
It's so soft.
So a prop scooting around four in the defensive line to find a gap and then crash over.
Hazleton, the cult hero, and all that. Great for him. But really.
Great for anyone who had him as an anytime try scorer.
Really, should he be scoring that try?
Probably not.
Griffin Neame probably pays for his honesty.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think he could have took advantage of a couple of the Sharks players being in there and just ran into them and fell over. And credit to him for not doing that, for actually trying to make the tackle.
Mm.
There's a bigger story there. I think, Jerome Hughes, when he bumped into the ref or shoved the referee out of the way to make the play, he should have just fell over and let the player score. Yep. So you don't get rewarded for your honesty. But in all seriousness, that Hazleton try just says
disaster.
All what's wrong. And that's happening early doors as well. That isn't, the Parramatta team that are down on energy, losing the game. That's not at the end of the game. That's pretty much close to the start. So, yeah.
Not great. Not great. Anyway, to round us out on the Monday scrum.
Read about it. Read about it. Reedy's mail.
How's your mailbox looking, Reedy?
We'll start Newcastle with Kalen's potential replacements because they've got a bit of an issue there. They've got a young kid named Fletcher Sharp who they've got huge wraps on.
Mm.
But he's got an injury at the moment and won't be back. There's a young guy named David Armstrong. He's a Maori kid. He's playing up in Goondiwindi, which is up in Queensland, one of the great towns up in Goondiwindi.
Yeah.
But he's been really good in New South Wales Cup for them of recent times. A top 30 player. He looks as though he'll get the start at fullback for them, David Armstrong. So that'd be a great story. Make his first grade debut, although a lot of pressure in the absence of Kalen. I mean, the other alternative is move Dane. Dane Gagai didn't play on Sunday, but he should be back. He had a calf problem, should be back this week. They potentially move him to fullback. But I think there's a fear that by doing that, you're weakening your centres because he's been really good this year, Dane Gagai. So, David Armstrong looks like he could be the man to go back there, which would be a good story out of a pretty sad situation for the Knights.
Exactly. Jamal Fogarty.
Yeah, look, Jamal, I mean, obviously he's ruptured that bicep. He's going to be out for, I think, 8 to 10 minimum, I think it was.
Yeah.
It's interesting because they could go into the market, the Raiders, and have a look around. They've got money up their sleeve. And there's some guys out that you could look at. A guy like Sean O'Sullivan, who's at the Dolphins, not getting a game at the moment. I think Parramatta took a look at Sean O'Sullivan recently when Mitch was out, decided not to go down that path. I don't think Canberra will go down that path because I think Ricky would be worried about bringing someone in who would just come in for this season.
Stopgap.
Yeah. Because they don't need anyone beyond that.
This is where the loan structure of European sport and with Super League would be perfect for Raiders, Knights. You think of a guy like O'Sullivan, Toby Sexton at the Bulldogs, where you go...
Jacob Arthur.
Like these guys, too good for the reserve grade, but due to the circumstances of their team, they can't get in. Go on loan to Canberra for a month or two or three. I think this is where the loan system... Because that's it. Canberra, you think, well, why would you go in for someone? We don't need anyone long term.
He's writing it down. I think we could have a
loan would be perfect.
It looks like KO... Oh, sorry, did you want to go on, Ed?
No, I just want to ask about Ethan Sanders. So,
well, I was going to say... KO Weeks will be the logical one to play this week, but the Ethan Sanders situation's bubbling away in the background. At some point this week, I imagine they'll finalise that deal with Ethan Sanders, the young Parramatta half. Now, Canberra were happy to let him stay at Parramatta the rest of the year. They weren't agitating for him to potentially get out, leave Parramatta early. That may change now. I think they would happily take him now once the deal's done. What's interesting about this is the situation is Parramatta haven't played him yet in first grade.
Yeah.
So if he goes to Canberra and plays first grade, and that's where he makes his debut, Parramatta will be entitled to a $50,000 development fee. So it'll cost Canberra an additional 50 grand. If he makes his debut at Parramatta and then moves to Canberra, you don't get that fee. So, Canberra.
50 grand though. What's 50 grand?
I know, well, it's nothing. It's just a bit of a subplot to it all.
For some of us.
Yeah.
But anyway.
In a $10 million, do you have a yearly salary cap, James, personally, of $10 million?
No, but the way it reads is just. It
doesn't go into the cap. It goes into the football department cap. It doesn't go into your salary cap.
Okay.
But basically, that I imagine that Sanders deal will get knocked over this week. Then the decision will be whether Parramatta release him early. If they decide to do that, and you know, Canberra won't give up a player, they won't pay. They'll have to pay a development fee, but they won't pay a transfer fee for him. Mm. They won't do a player swap. If Parramatta are willingly happy to give him up, Canberra will take him, and then they've got Ethan Sanders up their sleeve. If they, you know, the KO week situation doesn't work out, or if they have another injury, Ethan Sanders is in the system ready to go. So I think that's one to watch this week.
Indeed. Anything else?
That's about all I got today.
That's all.
Wait there. Really, come on.
What?
Mate, you break news on the Saturday scrum.
You got me on short notice this morning.
Mate, come on, man.
Brian Toto.
Mate, I want to know what's going on here. The boys
Charlie
let you,
put you up to
the
this?
Boys let you
Charlie's
off the hook.
Put you up
the boys let you off the hook. I want to know.
Oh, it's just spitballing, Jimmy.
Spitballing, or are you playing these? Are you staring the pot? You're as bad as Gordon Tallis
as a Queenslander.
If you are. Yeah, 100%. You both.
If I am, so be it.
Well, is Brian?
Did you say he's going to miss selection?
No, I just said there's he's under some pressure.
No, he's not. Absolute garbage.
Okay.
So, mate, did you get let off the hook by the Saturday crew?
Well, I got misquoted.
come on, let's clarify the situation.
Wade Graham said he was out of favour. And we listened back to it, and I never said he was out of favour.
So what did you say?
I said he was under pressure. There's a difference.
Mate, he's in the team. If Brian Toto's fit, he's probably one of the about of six or
six.
Seven.
I've got six locked in New South Wales.
Who are your
players,
six locked in? Nathan.
Brian. Nathan.
Teddy.
Isaiah Yeo.
Oh, you're not locking in Teddy.
Cam Murray. Appy. Payne Haas.
That's it.
Liam Martin, surely.
Liam Martin, yeah, he'll be locked in.
True.
You're not locking in Teddy, eh?
Not yet, because they've got about 8,000 foot. No. No,
sounds
to see
like
who's fit in 3 weeks' time.
Sounds like you're getting rid of him.
So you've just tossed this up about Brian Toto.
I've just said that there was a rumour going around Joe Swali, he's in the mix to play.
Yeah, well, he could be.
Not according to Buzz.
Well, you need two wingers.
And then
You need two people.
I had another winger. Who was the other winger?
Fox.
Foxy, Dylan Edwards, potentially.
Lomax was the other one.
Lomax's got to play wing.
So I'm just saying there's options there.
There are.
Brilliant. There's of course there's options.
Brian's got to fire up.
We've got three more weeks of this.
He's playing well. It could be Gawanski.
Beautiful. He's doing Michael Maguire's job for him at the moment.
Anyway.
Saturday scrummers.
Let's see what happens.
You sit in that room for too long.
This wouldn't happen on the Sunday scrum, but I'm just going to let you put that out there.
Gentlemen, that's a Monday scrum.
I see the way you attacked poor old Dobbo.
Yeah, well, if he came at us with Brian Totter's under pressure, we would.
Thanks, gents. Have a good week. That was a Monday scrum. See you.
Triple M Footy lives on Listener, thanks to McDonald's and Ream Hot Water.